Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. I feel so much better after taking most of December off. Oh my God, I was so tired. Happy New Year. Happy 2019. If you haven't saged your house, do it today. Get that old juju out of your house, that old energy. I am really excited about the new year. I always typically am. 2018 was kind of crazy, like a telenovela, to the point where I joked with my mom because she would kind of rush home to watch like PBS NewsHour and BBC. And I was like, Mom, do you have your popcorn? So my hope is that 2019 is going to be a little more chill, but I don't think that's going to happen. But in terms of personal finance, online entrepreneurship, and business stuff, Shell is money hungry and all the things. I am really getting so excited about the year. So, welcome everyone to the show. My name is Michelle Jackson. I run the show, Michelle is Money Hungry, that you're currently listening to. We've been on a break because I needed one. I think it's really important for self-care to kind of listen to yourself and acknowledge that. For the show notes, before we get deeper into it, you will go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/2019 goals, 2019 goals. That's where the show notes are located. On Thursday, I will be sharing my episode with my friend Carrie Smith, formerly of Careful Sense. She sold that website. And we're going to talk about making a pivot. But for today, for today's episode, I'm going to talk about my goals for 2019. I hope they inspire you to kind of think outside of the box, evaluate how things went for with your year, and just be bold. And for me, 2019 is a year that has a lot of possibilities to it. Each year does, but I've put in a lot of hard work that I think I'll see finally a lot of the results in 2019. So let's get to it. Okay, I have to say that I spent almost 6 weeks at the end of 2018 really working on systems, priorities, and just trying to figure out what I needed to do to make sure that I was focused on the things that were going to really move my business forward. A couple of things that, like, were put on the chopping block and will not be moving forward into 2019. One is kind of funny, but it stressed me out so badly, I had to let it go. My garden. I had to let go of my community garden plot. I loved my community garden. I love the people. They're so sweet. I've been with them for the last couple of years, but it was literally like having a business. And my grandma, who grew up on a farm, laughed at me. Yes, my relatives are harsh. And my grandma was like, I don't want to tell you that, I didn't want to say I told you so, but. So, yeah, grandma told me so. And she was like, maybe a garden isn't a good fit for you right now. She told me this last year and the year before. And I was like, no, grandma. I really want to like grow food because if the zombie apocalypse happens, like I've got a plot of land and I don't know what I was thinking. That plot had to go. It was so much work. But I was smart because I told them, I was like, hey guys, I'm going to have to let the plot go. I love it so much, which is true. I just didn't love all the freaking work. And I was just too busy, honestly, to love the plot in the way that it need any kind of garden needs to be loved. And I was like, if you ever need someone to help with like weeding or compost or whatever, I will do that in exchange for food. So they liked that because I knew that they often struggled to get people to do their work hours. So for that specific garden that I belong to, you had to do work hours and things like that in order to be a member of that community garden. They really are very strict with that specific one. It took me 5 years to get into that one, which is why I stayed and I was really reluctant to let it go. But they were like, that sounds like a great thing to do, and we would love to have you help out, and no problem. So I still will get some garden time in without having the responsibility of an actual plot of land. I will still get fresh vegetables from people that I know are growing organic food, and I can do it when it suits me best. So I'm thrilled. That was a huge stressor, and I can't wait. I just was so excited. So that was gone. Meetings had to go away. So basically in 2019, I have cut my availability in half, and I actually only meet with people every other week. There is a reason for that. You would think that working online that you wouldn't have a lot of meetings, right? Like, why would you have meetings? You're creating content and putting it on the web. But the thing is, you actually have a ton of meetings because you're probably doing, if you're like me, probably doing a lot of projects with other people, collaborations, mastermind groups, podcast interviews, just the list goes on. So I get interviewed for other podcasts. I interview people for mine. I just had all these meetings for a lot of different things, projects, panels that we're putting together. And it just was very difficult to go from meeting about something and then switching so that I could focus on doing the actual content related work that I needed to have done in order to earn a passive income. At the beginning of 2018, I was like, guys, my goal is to grow my passive income. Like, that's the thing that I'm most passionate and excited about. And even though I achieved that goal, I did, very excited about it, I feel like it could have been even better if I didn't have all those distractions. So throughout the year, I was just like, why can't I focus to the extent that I really need to? Like, what's going on here? I work from home or from like an office space. Like, what is happening? And especially towards the end of the year, I was finding that I was going anywhere that was super, super quiet. For example, there are a couple of co-working spaces that I work from that are very quiet. And then there are a couple of co-working spaces where they have dogs. The dogs aren't barking all the time. That's not the issue. They're just cute. And so everyone's always playing with the dogs and having beer. And I was like, that's just, I can't work in these places. They're so distracting. So the other thing I realized was I had to sit down and really look at what is distracting me. And so now, if you're going to meet with me, I'll be sending out a link. And then once you receive that link, you will schedule a time to meet with me. And likely it's always going to be every other week. So basically the reason why I did that is when I need to really focus and get work done, I will be able to do that without breaking my concentration. That was the issue. My concentration would constantly be broken, and it was really hard for me to switch back and focus. No more of that. So systems, actually going to have them. Crazy. So for 2019, I am working a 10-month year. So what in the heck do I mean by this? Basically, I am no longer interested in pretending like I have any energy or desire to work in November and December. I just don't. This year was the worst because it threw my back out and I couldn't walk. It was just, I couldn't walk. Literally, it was the most painful thing I've ever experienced in life. And I was tired. So it just, everything kind of hit the fan in November, where I was just like, I'm so tired. I'm worn out. I can't even focus to do anything substantial. And it sucked because I had my course, I had my books, and I just couldn't focus on the things that I could have sold. So one of the realities, and I talked to my mastermind group about this a year before, right? Because one of the other members was like, I do a 10-month year and I'm basically done by November. Cause she also acknowledged that she has little kids, she's busy, she gets tired by it. She's just tired. And I was like, you know what? Every year I'm exhausted, I'm tired, and I'm just unable to focus on that kind of stuff. And so I'm admitting now, I am no longer interested in pretending that November and December are anything that I'm focusing on. I don't want to do it. Does that mean that I don't sell things at that time? No, that doesn't mean that. It just means that I am not going to be actively doing anything at that time. With a 10-month year though, that means I have to absorb those 8 weeks of work into the year, which is fine. And I also need to build out content and things like that for those last 2 months. Prior to October, so that by the time October ends, I'm just like, we're good. So that is what's happening for productivity and just how I'm approaching the year. I read a book by Grant Cardone. I'm going to reread it, actually, called The 10 Times Rule. And it really talks about like how you need to set your goals and kind of make them 10 times as difficult as you think you should. and also that you need to do 10 times the amount of work to actually achieve your goals, actually flip it. He's really talking about the amount of work that you need to do in order to achieve things. And so in keeping with that, I've also set a very aggressive earnings goal. I don't know if I could even get close to this goal, okay, before I say what it is, but I think it's important to be audacious and just throw it out there because, hey, who knows? Like maybe I'll hit the goal. Maybe I'll hit half of it. I'll be thrilled either way. So the goal is to make $250,000 in 2019. Kind of a crazy goal because I've never made $100,000. But why not have this goal? Like why not? Like why not throw it out to the ether, to the world? Hey, this is what my intention is. There are a couple of reasons why I want it to have that as the goal. Basically, I can pay everything off after taxes that I owe with that amount of money. So I'm talking my mortgage, my mom's mortgage, my student loans, and any other miscellaneous crap that I have and still have savings and stuff left over. So that number wasn't some arbitrary number that I thought of. It was a very intentional number. And I think that if I'm focused enough, maybe I hit half that number. That's still very good in terms of what I can do with that money. So I'm very excited about it. I think that I could get close, and here's why. I built out 7 streams of income in 2018 and really built them out where I was actually getting money for them. So the first one is affiliate income. That still has to grow, but now that I completely understand the logic, everything's kind of come together, I'm very focused on that. I love affiliate income. I love passive income that comes from that. Course sales. Now, even though the course sales kind of tapered off in the fall, which given my reluctance to do anything after November, because basically I'm tired and I don't want to do anything, shouldn't surprise me. But I spent most of July through December tinkering with this course and getting it out of beta and onboarding affiliates and just doing a lot of stuff that I think you need to do when you build courses like this. But I think I'll see all of the results in 2019 of that work. So I'm not onboarding any more affiliates at this point beyond people who've purchased the actual course. And I'm just really working to make sure that students have a great experience with it, that it is well maintained, that things happen. The other issue that came up as the year went, you know, wound down, I was just tired. Like I felt like I wasn't as present mentally as I needed to be to really run a course. I'm going to talk about why everyone should create a course if you're a digital content creator, but there are some things that you just need to be aware of that caught me off guard. Like I didn't expect some of the issues that came up just energetically that also affected my course. So are my students happy? They're very happy, but was I happy with certain things? No. And so that was important for me to acknowledge to myself. Books. So we're still talking about the 7 streams of income. So, oh, wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. So books, I started writing books. I love writing the books. I have at this point 35 books that are fleshed out and ready to like develop, write, and get out into the world. Each book takes me, I'd say about from start to finish, when I'm really focusing on this kind of thing, about 7 days at the most. It takes about 23 to 25 hours per book. The covers that I get are about $15 a cover. That's including the tip. So I am obsessed with writing my books. I love it, love it, love it, love my books. And so I'm very excited about the books that will be released in 2019. And the different topics that will be covered, that kind of thing. I will say that I'm not just writing fiction because I am writing fiction books, romance novels. I'm also writing nonfiction. So I have actually a set, of nonfiction works that I'm working on as that I'm working on as well for the year, like on specific topics that I wanted to address. Freelance writing, I've been making money freelance writing for quite a while now. I have always been a bit reticent to grow any kind of freelance writing because I was very concerned about having a ton of editors because it's like having a boss to some extent. But now that the other monies are kind of coming together, the thing with the freelance writing is as long as I have the great clients that I have, like as long as I have great clients like the ones I have now, I have some great clients that I work with. They're so awesome. They're so easy. They're just easy to deal with. Then I can continue to freelance up until the end of this year. I think that this will be the last year that I do it. But I am looking to aggressively save money and pay off things. So I am going to be freelancing more. So if you need anyone, let me know and you're chill. I am your girl. Sponsorships. So that is something that I'm working on quite a bit, specifically for my Square State podcast. And that I think will be a lot of fun. And I'm just kind of thinking about how I want things to work locally in terms of how my Square State blog and podcast are running. Actually, I should mention that part of the reason why I focus so much on efficiency and cutting out meetings and things like that was I knew that I was missing out on this opportunity to grow my Colorado project. And I no longer am willing to do that. So it is very important to me to focus on that and have the time to focus on that. And so that's part of the reason why I don't have as many meetings. I don't have time for that when I could be making money. The Money on the Mountain retreat for women who are financially single. I've actually wanted to run an event for, I'd say, 2 or 3 years now. Part of it was I was really inspired by Melanie and Tanya. Melanie from Dear Debt and Tanya Rapley. And those two ladies put together some of my favorite events as an entrepreneur. They opened my mind and eyes to the fact that you could do that. I've also attended other events run by different men and women in the personal finance space. And I felt like it was time for me to create something. I'm going to talk about that more at length next Monday. So stay tuned for an episode about why it was important for me to create the Money on the Mountain retreat. But I will say that I'm so excited about this. Melanie Locker and Tanya really inspired me to do something like this. But the truth is I used to put together 85 events a year. So it's not like something that I haven't done before. For many, many, many years, I have put together events where I brought people together. And I just was really, I was missing that. I was missing that. That's a space that I thrive in. And I don't miss coffee talk. I don't miss working in an office. I don't miss any of that, but I do miss creating events and bringing people together. So it was now time for me to do that. And I wanted to be bold. I'll talk about, again, more about why I put this retreat together next Monday, but I'm so excited about that. But I will say that I'm putting it together so I will actually earn money. And I think that a lot of people who put retreats together don't factor in their time and how much they should be paying themselves for it. Well, I can be clear and say that I did. So I'm in the process of approaching organizations and people in order to get paid. And I am excited about the process. I think that it's going to help me grow professionally and so on and so forth. And then finally, Airbnb rentals. So my little place is so awkward. And anyone who's been here before will be like, no way, you're not going to Airbnb that place. But I am. And partly because I'm going to be putting in a lot of sweat equity and doing renovations, repainting it, getting new appliances. And just it's way overdue. It's long overdue. And it needs a facelift big time. That income will be so helpful in terms of just the amount that it costs for me to give my place a facelift. I'll earn the money back, but also to save money, like put money aside, invest, that kind of thing. I want my place to start working for itself. So Airbnb will be something that I'll be doing moving forward, starting hopefully at the beginning of June. So the goal is the beginning of June or at the end of June. So in the next 6 months, the goal is to get the place ready so that I can start bringing guests in when I am gone. So the idea is, if I'm gone, it's making money. And so, yeah, that's the goal. That's the plan. It's a bit audacious. It could end up that I do it in July. I don't know. Ideally, the beginning of summer, because it's the high season in terms of summer tourism and things like that. And I live in a neighborhood that it's pretty high demand. And so, yeah, that is a goal as well in terms of a revenue stream. I sat down and figured out literally how much I needed to make from each revenue stream per month based on the number of months that revenue stream will be in existence. So for example, for the Airbnb rentals, obviously I'm not going to include January through May because I won't be doing it until June. So it would be June through December, and like kind of figuring out how much I need to be earning per month with that. I have a goal for each stream of revenue. So in terms of like the freelance writing, like how many clients and how much work I need to be doing for them, how much I should be earning from my eBooks starting in January. So actually the eBooks tapered off going into the holidays because people buy real books. They buy real books to give as gifts and might not necessarily have the time to buy themselves eBooks, or maybe they're treating themselves to real books as gifts. So now I imagine that my book sales will start picking up again going into the spring and summer season, summer being a high point because people travel quite a bit, and that's a good time for smutty romance novels. I am really working on email opt-ins. That is actually my number one goal, outside of just obviously earning money, is to get my email list to grow. I'm happy to say that I finally figured out a strategy that works. But again, these things take energy. So I just, at the end of the year, I didn't have the energy to work that strategy. And fortunately, going into 2019, I now have the energy to work my strategies. So I will keep you posted on how the email opt-ins work, but I think that they'll be fine. And then the biggest thing that I've done, besides looking at systems and numbers and all this kind of thing, is batched my work. So I think that the number one area of focus that divides bloggers from bloggers who make money and bloggers who don't is consistency. Consistency is really hard. It's hard because there are so many little things that you end up doing as a blogger, podcaster, YouTube person, whatever it is that you're doing. And a lot of us now have multiple areas of focus. So an example would be, I have a blog, I have a podcast. I have two blogs and two podcasts, but they also have social media and different resources and things like that. It's just a lot of things, kind of moving parts. Pat Flynn, I feel like he has three podcasts or two. I don't even know. He has at least two podcasts. He has his blog. He has his resources. He has a lot of moving parts. So really getting ahead of the workload so that you, one, aren't overwhelmed by it, but two, you can actually spend the time that you need marketing your stuff is huge and builds trust with the people out there who are looking to consume your content. So when I look back at the year again, even though it was a pretty good year in terms of like my podcast was consistent, which was actually one of the hardest things to build consistency with. Podcasts are really, they take a lot of time to do in terms of just the time to record, the time to edit, and the time to like upload and all that kind of stuff. I still was not happy with the consistency with blog related content. So I spent weeks just working on getting my blog content ahead of the game, like just batching like crazy. It's very tiring to do, but it was super important for me to do because if I'm running around at the end of each day, trying to get like the next Wednesday's content out, it doesn't serve me well. I just can't market it to the extent that I need to in order to one, help people, but two, make money. It just doesn't work. So batch your stuff, batch it, batch it, batch it. I also am batching my books. So my goal is to always have at least two done so that it's easier for me to market the book and just also work the algorithm strategy that goes into releasing these books digitally online, because there's some algorithms that affect the ability for people to see your work. So that's a whole nother conversation. Because I've batched my work, I actually have 3 months worth of blog posts basically ready and on the editorial calendar. Either they've been partially written out or planned out, but the editorial calendar for my blogs, plural, they're done through the end of March, beginning of April. All my podcast episodes are also done, which is why I was able to say on Thursday, I will be sharing the episode with Carrie Smith Nicholson. Why? Because I know that it's on the editorial calendar and ready to go. Also with my nonfiction novels or books, they're short books, but I already know what I'm going to write about. So there's none of this guessing like before, like where I'm like, what inspires me today? And what am I going to write about? Like, that's not going to work because I want to make money. So there you go. So let's switch gears. We're going to talk a little bit about money, debt, and wellness. Okay. So can I just say how bummed I am that I ran out of steam and was unable to focus enough to get the remaining unsecured debt paid off by the end of 2018? I was pretty bummed. I was really sad about that. And I experienced some financial and just some in general, some depression in the summer. Like I just wasn't feeling good. And that was really hard. And I've noticed that happens from time to time, and that's not okay. So I'm going to talk about that a little more in the next topic. But what I will say is my goal at this point is to hopefully get that paid by the end of February, no later than the end of February. So crossing my fingers. And I'm focusing on wellness. I clearly need to spend a lot more time focusing on wellness. I thought I was doing a pretty good job with it, but I noticed that some things have kind of been slipping. Like there were some self-care rituals that I used to do. Like when I was younger, like I used to steam my face all the time. And like I used to do all these things. And I noticed that I don't pamper myself in the way that I used to. So that is a non-negotiable moving forward. I have been buying flowers for my home. That was always something that I enjoyed. And so I've been doing that, but these other components of self-care and wellness, they kind of slip through the cracks. So no more of that. And I'm making sure that I also work with a mental health professional, not because of anything other than sometimes there's just things on my mind and I'm stressed and the stress is manifesting itself in my body. Like my eye twitched for 3 months in the fall during the election season. Yeah. And I had a pretty big interview on television that I think is going to come out in January. I'll keep you posted. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, my eye is twitching. And I asked the lady, I was like, can you see that? She's like, no, it's okay. But you know what? I bet you can. So those are just different physical manifestations of stress. And I don't want to have it. So wellness is a huge focus moving forward. Events and travel. So I took a year off of traveling and everyone was like, did you miss out? Did you have FOMO? I was like, no. Like I had no FOMO. And part of the reason why was I just saw a ton of people. Like I'm part of the FinCon community and I saw people all year long. I literally would see someone from either like the Colorado FinCon people or out of state. I'd say I was averaging every 3 weeks, I would see someone easily every 3 weeks. And for people who live here, we actually do a lot of things together. So like I would go to the theater with, you know, co-FinCon people, or we belong to other organizations. So I belong to a bloggers group here in Denver, and other Colorado FinCon people belong to it too. So we'd be at those events. So I was seeing people all the time. I also attended the pop-up business school that was run by Alan, I want to say Flanagan or Finnegan. I forget his last name right now, but he's awesome. He's like the most amazing person. And they came over from, he and his team came over from England, where they normally hold it. And they held it in Longmont, Colorado at Mr. Money Mustache's Mustachian headquarters, which was incredible. I attended Denver Startup Week, the Fuel Your Influence Conference, and the Sense Positive Retreat for women in the FIRE community. So I was pretty busy. So no, I did not have FOMO. I filmed 3 different television segments, which was a huge deal for me because I hadn't done any TV related to these projects. So I was very excited. 2 were national, 1 was local. And again, I can't mention the 1 national segment because it still hasn't gone live. So we'll see how that goes. And then I also went to Breckenridge 3 times in the fall, during the fall, for extended periods of time. And that was actually a huge goal of mine going into 2018, was just to spend more time in the mountains and just enjoy them. And so that was fantastic. For 2019 though, oh my God, like already I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to be visiting grandma quite a bit. She's my only grandma. I love her, love her, love her. She's so awesome. And so I want to spend as much time as I can with her. So that, you know, you might be like, what are you doing, Michelle? Going to see my grandma. I really would like, I'm hoping to attend the Lola Retreat LA in February. So keeping my fingers crossed. The only tricky thing about that is my hope is to start remodeling my place in February. So the hope is to paint my place and get that started. It may end up that I paint and go, so I don't have to smell the fumes from the paint. Haven't figured it out yet, but that is a goal, is to go to that event. I think it's going to be fabulous. Attend the Sense Positive Retreat for Women in FIRE. I don't know where Tanya is going to be holding that event. She's going to have 2, I think, this year. So keeping an eye on that. I'm hoping one of them would be, hopefully one of them will be in Seattle, because I really like Seattle in summer. FinCon 2019. Woo! I miss my people. I miss my FinCon people. I am so excited to see you guys. Don't get me wrong, I saw a lot of you guys, but I'm excited to be a part of that energy. It's going to be in DC. I'm thrilled to be a part of that and to just hang out. I have a panel that I hope will get approved, so we'll see how that goes. Podcast Movement, I will be attending that as well. I am so excited about that also. And friend and I have been working on a panel for that as well. So cross my fingers, cross your fingers that that panel is approved. The Elevate event, I can't talk too much about it because it's not been really marketed yet, but that is an event for personal finance influencers of color. And I'm super thrilled. I know where it's going to be held and all that kind of stuff, but I don't want to say more where and when actually, but I don't want to say more because I'm waiting for all of the information to be shared. I'm really excited about that. The 20 books to 50K event in Edinburgh, Scotland, I think is how you say that correctly. And it's kind of weird. Like, I've had this weird thing about Scotland in the last couple of years, and I can't explain why, but I'm feeling drawn to it, towards it. So the 20 books to 50K community has all these cool retreats or conferences all around the world. And the one that I want to attend is in Scotland in July, which is my birthday month. And what better way to celebrate my birthday than to go to Scotland and geek out over being a self-published person writing smutty romance novels. So crossing my fingers on that. And then finally, of course, the Money on the Mountain retreat. Go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/retreat for more information on that. Real talk, I'm 100% disinterested in doing anything that's going to mess up all the hard work that I put into what I'm doing. So if you are like, Michelle, like, you're really intense this year, there's a reason why. So I'm just trying to get stuff done. I have so much that I think is going to happen as a result of focusing and getting my hard work done. So cross my fingers. I always have a color and word of the year. It's kind of funny with the color of the year, because sometimes my color of the year is a color of the year for like years. Like I just love that color for years and years. So for the last couple of years, the color has been a beautiful, like aqua blue. And I think that I needed calm. And, you know, that aqua blue to me symbolizes the sky and ocean and just like calm. And about mid-fall, I started noticing, I was like, oh my God, I'm buying a lot of red. And red is like passion and vibrancy and adventure and good luck and intensity. It's a very intense color and I am obsessed with it. Like really, really crazy obsessed. I've never liked red as much as I do right now. And I think it's going to be going on for a while. I just got a cute red hat with a giant poof on the top today. I'm obsessed with red. And the word of the year is money. Cardi B just dropped a not safe for work video, which I didn't realize, I should have known, but anyway. But I like the words to the song, some of the words, the premise of the song, which is basically I need money. And so I am running a website and podcast called Michelle is Money Hungry for a Reason. I want money. And I want to be very clear about my intentions. I want money so that I can be debt free, so I can help my mom, so I can travel, so I can help other people, so I can empower people, so I can do cool things. Pretty straightforward, right? Like it's not that complicated. I think that a lot of people will try to make people feel badly because they want money. I don't feel badly at all about it. And I'm going to empower you to also want money too. Now, here's the thing. If you're wanting money to be greedy, that's a whole different conversation. I just want money because, you know, there's a recession on the horizon. It is coming. It's way overdue. It's not like alarmist talk, but I want to invest during the recession. Excuse me. I want to buy property if that were to happen. That's an opportunity. Like right now, Colorado housing prices are crazy. And so it'd be awesome to have finances available so that when the market softens, I can move in and purchase a property. I've actually been going, when I go to the mountains, I've been looking at properties. Like I've been looking at MLS listings. I've been asking questions. I actually think I found my realtor. I'm very serious about this. So I want money to change my life and change other people's lives. And I want to empower women in particular to feel very good about stating that baldly without any kind of qualms, without feeling weird, just being like, this is what I want. So yeah, money, money, money is the word for the year. That is it for today's episode. Feel free to email me at michelleismoneyhungry@gmail.com with any thoughts or questions about the show. Make sure to like and subscribe to the show. And I am excited to share my interview with Carrie Smith Nicholson from #Colorado. Love, love, love what she's doing with it. And I think it is a great time of year to talk about professional pivots. So I hope that you tune in on Thursday. Have a wonderful day. I'm wishing you all the best in 2019.